reminding us that there's no point in being miserable in our last moments on this planet. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm supposed to be providing an introduction here, not the details of our public execution. So, let's go back a bit.
Part 1. No crime, just punishment.
By order of the new order, and the great wind, the one who is the one, let it be known that as of now, this moment, or 12 o'clock midnight, whichever shall arrive first, following the swift triumph of the order of the ones who protect, who have obliterated the blind and dumb forces of passivity and complacency plaguing this world, all citizens must, shall, and will abide by these three orders for order. Order number one. All behaviors not in keeping with NO law, logic, order, and science, including but not limited to theology, philosophy, and in particular the creative and dark arts, etc., are hereby abolished. Order number two. All persons under 18 years of age will be evaluated for orderliness and must comply with the prescribed corrective actions. Order number three. The One, who is the One, grants, appoints, decides, seizes, and executes at will. All not complying shall be seized and or executed. As declared to the One who writes decrees, by the One who is the One.
Chapter 1. Sometimes you wake up, and the world is just plain different. The noise of a circling helicopter is what made me open my eyes. A cold, blue-white light forced its way through the blinds and flooded the living room, almost like it was day. But it wasn't. I peered at the clock on the DVD player through blurry eyes. 2:10 a.m. I became aware of a steady drub, 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 like the sound of a heavy heartbeat, throbbing, pressing in, getting closer. What's going on? I staggered to the window, forcing my body back to life after 2 hours of being passed out on the sofa, and peeked through the slats. And then I stepped back and rubbed my eyes, hard, because there's no way I'd seen what I'd seen, and there was no way I had heard what I'd heard. Was it really the steady, relentless footfall of hundreds of soldiers, marching on my street in perfect unison? The road wasn't close enough to the center of town to be on any holiday parade routes, much less to have armed men in combat fatigues coursing down it in the dead of night. I shook my head and bounced up and down a few times, kind of like I do in my warm-ups. Wake up, Wit! I slapped myself for good measure, and then I looked again. There they were. Soldiers marching down our street, hundreds of them as clear as day, made visible by a half dozen truck-mounted spotlights. Just one thought was running laps inside my head. This can't be happening. This can't be happening. This can't be happening. Then I remembered the elections, the new government, the ravings of my parents about the trouble the country was in, the special broadcasts on TV, the political petitions my classmates were circulating online, the heated debates between teachers at school. None of it meant anything to me until that second. And before I could piece it all together, the vanguard of the formation stopped in front of my house. Almost faster than I could comprehend, two armed squads detached themselves from the phalanx and sprinted across the lawn like commandos, one running around the back of the house, the other taking position in front. I jumped away from the window. I could tell they weren't here to protect me and my family. I had to warn Mom, Dad, Wisty. But just as I started to yell, the front door was knocked off its hinges.
Chapter 2. It's quite hideous to get kidnapped in the dead of night, right inside your own home. It went something like this. I woke to the chaotic crashing of overturning furniture, quickly followed by the sounds of shattering glass, possibly some of Mom's china. Oh God, Wit, I thought, shaking my head sleepily. My older brother had grown 4 inches and gained 30 pounds of muscle in the past year.